Matt was involved in the same Living Generosity series when he noticed that his church's worship leader was playing a cheap, frazzled, bargain basement guitar during service. Matt knows a bad guitar when he sees one, mind you. He collects guitars, some of which are ludicrously valuable. His favorite? A classic Martin acoustic guitar, the same brand of guitar played by everyone from Elvis Presley and Woody Guthrie to John Lennon and Johnny Cash. The most expensive Martin ever sold belonged to legendary guitarist Eric Clapton. The 1939 model he used to play Tears in Heaven on MTV was auctioned off for $791,500. I don't know if Matt's guitar had a similar pedigree, but I do know that of all the guitars that hung on his wall, the Martin was Matt's favorite, his best sheep. Matt took down that Martin, drove it to church, and gave it to the worship leader. "For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also," reads Matthew chapter 6, verse 21. Our hearts follow our treasure. When we see someone spending their treasure on sports cars or fine food or lavish vacations, we have a pretty good idea about what they prioritize. Sometimes such things even become our idols. When we give our good sheep to those priorities and give our stinky sheep to God, we know where our hearts are. But when we give God our treasure, our hearts will be with Him. The heart of worship is seeing the connection between worship and sacrifice. In fact, we worship God through our sacrifice. It's easy to forget that today when our church services label worship time as the time when we all sing together. Nothing wrong with singing, of course, but it leads to a misunderstanding. Worship is music, we think, and the offering is money, but the truth is our offerings are worship too. It's not only about how we demonstrate our love for God, but how we demonstrate that love where our priorities lie for ourselves and one another. God asks us to give our first and best to Him. When we do so, or when we don't, the focus of our hearts becomes very clear. But as I've said, giving isn't all about money. It's about our time, too, our skills, our attention, our emotion, and perhaps more importantly, it's the hope and capacity that get built into the lives of the recipients of mercy. And as in Wells's case, sometimes giving encompasses our very lives. To take the second step on the path of mercy, to go as God asks us to, can be an open-ended directive. And we never necessarily know where it might lead. 3. Lastly, loving leads to giving, which leads to going. Running through the middle of that fiery South Tower, Wells probably wasn't thinking about whether he loved the people he was saving. Maybe he was operating on instinct. Maybe he was remembering his father and what would make him proud. Maybe he was thinking about God and about what God would want him to do. We can't say for sure what was going through his mind, but maybe it doesn't matter, because whatever he was thinking, his motivation was rooted unquestionably and undeniably in love. Be it love for God, love for his father, love for his fellow men and women, or all three. When the world around him was literally falling apart, Wells found clarity in following God's impulse, and that impulse is rooted always in love. But in our own lives, even when we give like God wants us to, we don't always love in the midst of our giving, do we? Sometimes we give not only sparingly, but also grudgingly. It's easy for this to happen. It can feel inevitable. We're faced with a dizzying number of needs, and they multiply like rabbits. If we always waited until we felt like giving, until we felt God's impulse at work in our hearts, how many needs would never get met? Sacrificing ourselves, our time, and treasure can seem like the antithesis of what we actually want to do.